Hello, this is the Voices of CRM podcast for July. I'm Barney Beal, news director with SearchCRM.com. Today we're talking with Cheryl Kingstone, director of customer-centric strategies at the Yankee Group. Cheryl's been covering the CRM market for a while now and has a particular interest in mobile technologies. All right, welcome, Cheryl. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
So for years, we've been hearing that, you know, this is the year for mobile CRM. It's kind of almost a cliche at this point. You know, in fact, even saying that it's a cliche that this is the year for mobile CRM is almost a cliche. Maybe, can you give us some sense of where the market is for mobile CRM these days, both on the vendor and then the business side?
We're really seeing a tipping point here. I hate to say it, you know, it's another cliche, and I'm looking for another type of cliche, so I'm potentially working in what I would say is the tipping point for success here, because mobility really is that last mile in sales effectiveness. And so we're seeing a lot of momentum in businesses that have either explored field service and have had some success there, or have tapped into what I would say as mobile email, and now they want to start leveraging a lot of those devices that you already have in place. There's also the generational issues that are coming about where, you know, it's not going to take too much longer before the college-aged individuals today that have been brought up with mobility, have been brought up with cell phones, have been brought up with connectivity within their university environment is going to be entering the workforce and demanding this. It's no longer going to be a nice to have. It's going to be, I can't believe I can't have this now. And let me tell you, that generation doesn't waste a lot of time whining and doing about it. They're just going to demand it, and they're going to move on without the organization if they don't have it.
Right.
So there's a lot of success out there that's really showing that we are at that tipping point. So I hate to say it as a cliche, but hopefully this will be the year.
It's the year. Well, so there are some businesses that have, you know, been down the path of mobile CRM for a while now. Maybe you could share some of your insight on where you've seen things go wrong. I mean, what are the pitfalls?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different pitfalls. A lot of companies sometimes look at it very I would say either opportunistically or very tactfully, meaning they're just looking at it to enable maybe a single system, which is okay, but they don't necessarily limit the, or they wind up limiting the extent of extensibility of that architecture. If they look just for email, or they look to replicate just what they're doing in the SFA today to the mobile device, that's probably been the number one failing point in a lot of these applications, is just trying to replicate what you're doing today and not really taking into account the medium that they're working in, because mobility and wireless and phones, they just operate different, they have a different UI, and they can be much more process-driven in order for them to be successful. So again, the success or lack of success thereon is, you know, trying to replicate that online environment into a phone, which doesn't necessarily work, looking at it as a single system and not really a business process-driven type of environment, and then not leveraging it for what the goals and objectives are for the organization.
So where have you seen some organizations kind of really identify a clear goal where mobile CRM is going to enable them to perform better?
Well, if you really take a look at it from the user perspective, and so if you take a look at mobile sales, for example, and you really look at the day in the life of a salesperson and then automate that, and that's just not taking your SFA and putting it on a mobile device. That's taking a look at what the salesperson does day in, what he does during travel. That's incorporating the email. That's incorporating business processes for when a customer calls to automatically log that into the CRM system. Maybe building into account the ability to check orders or inventory, which could be in an SAP system. This is why you have to take a look at it from the complete sales process for that user. A CEO or a knowledge manager, a knowledge worker, is going to have very similar approaches to it, but they might need access to different corporate databases. A field service person is going to need a lot more information around service level agreements to make sure that they're meeting the right requirements for their end customers. So again, you have to look at it much more role-based, similar to what we've done at the client, but bringing it really to the next level.
All right, well, let's talk devices for a minute. First of all, do you have an iPhone yet, Cheryl?
I was going to get an iPhone. I would love to get an iPhone, but they're really sexy, but I'm a BlackBerry addict.
Ah, I see.
And, you know, when you're talking about real corporate work here, and you're talking about event-driven and applications, today still BlackBerry is the one to have. But let me tell you, that iPhone and the UI to it, RIM needs to take lessons learned there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you bring up a good point. I mean, a lot of salespeople already have BlackBerries. If a company's sort of looking to expand the mobile CRM deployment, how do they approach devices that people already have, and where does kind of the device fit into the decision?
You know, that's a great thing. We talk a lot about information at Yankee Group called the consumerization of the enterprise, and also dealing with what we call the rogue employee. Because these consumer devices are already in the hands of the users, a lot of corporations are reimbursing them today. And so they do have a strong momentum and pull from the end users to be incorporated into the corporation for access to database from that standpoint. But when you're really talking about a more of a strategic mobile environment and wireless adoption, if you are really mass producing and enabling the mass adoption of the email, you usually have an infrastructure support that. So you have the BlackBerry Enterprise Server, you have good technology, you have something that has been enabled within your own enterprise. And that's when it makes sense to really support and give options to your end users, but within your own constraints. So give them the options of different BlackBerry devices. If you're a BlackBerry shop today, stay with that BlackBerry shop. If you're able to bring in, I would say, the good technology and you have Exchange, take a look at where you can go with offering different devices on the mobile, the Microsoft mobile environment. But again, the more devices you offer, the more operating systems you manage, the more email servers you have, the complexity and total cost of ownership goes up. But the adoption will also go up, and the usability of those devices will go up because it is a very personal choice.
And, I mean, that's always been a clear problem, user adoption in CRM, is making sure people are actually using the application.
Right, but if you can't ensure that the application is built for that device, meaning if you can't manage with multiple different devices, then you at least have to pick one device.
So switching gears a little bit from the device to the system, the software, people have a lot of options these days. The major CRM vendors now have their own mobile offerings, and then there's a fair number of partners out there doing similar things. What's your advice on how people should approach kind of going with their CRM vendor or the partner?
You know, that's really a very pertinent question that a lot of organizations are asking themselves, and it depends on, again, the business process that you're trying to enable. So if you just want to have sort of the first step in mobilizing your workforce beyond email, that's where you can take a look at your ISV provider. So if they have a viable option and it performs the way you want, now not all vendors are created equal, so this is where you have to take a look at it, and it can enable it based on the process and the device that they're working with, then that's fine. So like, for instance, Sage Organizations actually acquired Quorum Technologies, which was a best-of-breed mobile provider, and so they're doing a fairly good job at offering mobile off of their own application, while other ISVs really rely on their partners for more of a sophisticated type of application in a mobile environment, and that's where the mobile middleware players come in. And for example, Siebel partnering with an antenna, and what antenna brings to the table, it can mobilize parts of Siebel, not the entire application, but it can also go to the next step and mobilize maybe your SAP application. So if you have a much more complex application environment, that's when you're going to want to go to a middleware. If you have a less sophisticated and you're really trying to just mobilize one application, that's where you potentially can go to the provider. If that provider offers a good mobile offering, which means event-driven, semi-connected, and you have to worry about the speed and not just a browser-based type of application.
And what about the security issue here? I mean, lots of mobile applications out there, lots of, you know, important corporate information flowing along those airwaves.
Security is always an issue, and it's going to depend. It's actually going to depend on the different devices. So, you know, BlackBerry's been hit with some security issues, and a lot of companies were really interested in, like, for instance, the 8800, but now it comes with a smart card or these SanDisk cards, and that's enabling people to put data on those cards and making it much less secure, even though the wireless aspects have been secure. So as much as you think you can address security, the new devices come up that can blow that out of the water. So it is something that I would say is an ongoing type of solution. And then there's also providers that sit on top of the connectivity and sit on top of the device that have more of what I would say is a mobile VPN, so that you can really up those security mechanisms and bring that to the table that maybe one of the providers or the carriers wouldn't offer today. But the carriers are starting to partner with a lot of these vendors so that you can really beef up the security for these applications.
Okay. And so we've talked a bit about, you know, mobile sales, mobile field service. I guess the one area of CRM we haven't really touched on is marketing. And I guess this comes more on the other end of how can companies take advantage of marketing to their customers who are using mobile applications or mobile devices?
Yeah, I mean, from a marketing perspective, we talked about sales and service in more of what I would say is a B2B environment. Where mobile marketing is very, very hot isn't necessarily in a business-to-business type of environment today. In a B2B environment, that's where potentially you could have SMS messages and some marketing go out there, but where a lot of the attention is being played is in the consumer market, and that's where you bring in a lot of the leveraging a lot of the analytics and the point of interaction or presence within and location-based services, and that's where you can also bring in some affinity groups. So, for example, if you're out in Las Vegas at a casino and you're part of, like, for instance, one of those clubs or players' clubs, that's where it makes sense to potentially look at an affinity group and take a look at location-based services and offer a cross-sell for a spa that's around the corner to get them in with when the potential timing is right. And you can opt in for all of these. So that's where mobile advertising can be more of an opt-in approach. The other thing it's really looking at is changing business models. So if consumers are willing to accept mobile advertising, they are sometimes taking less of a price hit on a lot of their data. So they're getting something for free based on accepting the data. So it gets back to those traditional advertising type models.
Okay. Well, Cheryl, that's about it. So thanks very much for joining us.
Not a problem. And it's a great topic. And any more information, feel free to reach out.
All right. Thanks a lot. Well, that's it for this month's installment of the Voices of CRM. Please tune in next month when we talk with another leading voice in the CRM market. And please continue to turn to searchcrm.com for all your CRM information needs.